1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Vice President Kamala Harris is now the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, having secured commitments from enough delegates to clinch the nomination. Endorsements keep coming in, including New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who warns of impending Republican attacks.
It's going to be very important that I think we brace ourselves for some of the unfair, misogynistic, and racial undertones.
Harris campaigns in Milwaukee today. Campaigning in Ohio, Trump running mate J.D. Vance called President Biden a quitter and said Harris was a liar and a million times worse than Biden. Riverside County authorities say fireworks are to blame for a wildfire that destroyed six homes and damaged seven more there. Delta Airlines, still hobbled from the global tech outage last Friday, has already canceled 332 flights for today. They've canceled thousands since the outage. This is ABC News.
Yes.
Mass murder in Croatia. Six killed, six wounded in an attack on a care home. The assailant using a very old weapon.
An armed assailant entered a nursing home in the quiet central Croatian town of Daruvar and opened fire. The suspect then fled the scene, but police caught him in a nearby cafe. Local TV reports he's 51 and used an unregistered gun from the war 30 years ago. One of the victims said to be his mother. Police are investigating the motive. Those killed mostly in their 90s.
ABC's Tom Rivers. She played Jade Fox, who attacked with poison needles in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Her family says Chinese-born actress Cheng Pei-Pei has died from an illness with symptoms similar to Parkinson's disease. She was famous in Hong Kong for martial arts movies. Cheng's final role came in 2020 as the matchmaker in the live-action version of Disney's Mulan. Cheng Pei-Pei was 78. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
This whole week, I've been trying to think of some maneuver I could say that would go viral and totally sell my soul for extra cash. I'm not putting myself above that.
How about Schwabba Habba? Or Schwabby Dada? Or Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong? Instead of the more you know, it just says Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong. With a rainbow and a star shooting star.
Conrad, I think we got our promo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
That's what we can do, Johnny. We can start a new mafia. You're the Italian. I could act.
You're the accountant.
I could
You're
act.
The whole thing.
I'd like to do more than accounting, but
no, yeah. I know, but you know what I mean. Well, that's just the
okay.
By saying the accountant,
Todd
it's
would
like
be,
that
like,
sounds like a good name.
Jim, you could run the east side, okay?
Yeah, I'll take the whatever. East side.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app.
News. I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Democratic Party of Wisconsin enthusiastically endorsed Kamala Harris on Monday, now that she's the frontrunner for the Democratic ticket. Ben Wickler, chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, said Harris is the candidate best positioned to defeat Donald Trump.
Vice President Harris is a powerhouse debater and communicator, and we've seen that all the way through her political career. She's able to bring a spotlight to the essential issues and draw the essential contrast that will ensure that we can win this election.
Wickler described Biden's resignation as a reset that gives Democrats the upper hand in the upcoming election. Wisconsin was ranked first in the nation for hourly earnings growth in February, March, and May, and second in the nation in April. Just last month, Wisconsin reached record high employment numbers. Governor Tony Evers said Monday that Wisconsinites are clearly working hard as the economy continues to show positive growth. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Cubs get a win over the Crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Just under 36,000 fans in the friendly confines of Wrigley Field watched a tight ball game between the Brewers and the Cubs last night. Except for a solo home run by Willy Adames in the eighth, the Brewers held to just five hits and lose 3-1 in Chicago. Manager Pat Murphy.
We didn't come up with a big hit. We did a great job in some areas. I think our youth showed tonight. You know, Tobias was fabulous. He threw the ball great, but the balk, the wild pitch with an 0-2 pitch, the bases loaded. Obviously, throwing the ball away at second, you know, that accounted for two of the three runs. And
the series continues tonight. NFL, the Packers making national headlines. Jordan Love's agents and the team still working on a contract for the young quarterback. Packers president Mark Murphy at the annual shareholders meeting.
I'm not saying anything about Jordan Love. Other than he's a heck of a quarterback and we want to sign him.
Murphy also said the team is working on a deal with Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions to do a documentary about the Packers. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers and thunderstorms in the overnight. Mostly cloudy skies, light southwest winds, and lows in the mid-60s. On Tuesday, we'll see showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy skies, a little haze in the sky as well, highs in the upper 70s. It's 69 at our studios.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. It's Tuesday Tangents with our friend Luke Mathers. Your phone calls as well. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight, where tonight we are broadcasting from our beautiful state capital, Madison, Wisconsin, from our studios here at Civic Media, looking over State Street on a beautiful summer night. It is great to be in Madison. It is great to be in the summer state, as I like to call Wisconsin. Nobody does summer better than Wisconsin, and tonight is a beautiful example of that. Conrad is holding down the fort in Green Bay. How are things going there, buddy?
It's going good.
He's a man of few words, folks. He gets right to the point.
That's all you
so
need to know.
No drama, I guess. Is the gelato place overflowing with customers or what?
Because
I've got great people looking here in Madison.
Yeah, the gelato place is going crazy right now.
Did you get some gelato today?
Not today. I had some on Friday. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it again.
You can't. It's bikini season, buddy. You can't load up on that stuff.
Exactly.
Just pace yourself. This is a fun show tonight, folks. We got Pat McGann, comedian. A lot of times you say up and coming when you haven't really heard of someone, but a lot of you may have already heard of Pat. He is he's had his own Netflix special. He tours with Sebastian Maniscalco. Am I saying that right? Let's Google that, Conrad. I think we need to say that right, because
okay,
he has not been on the show, but he's Pat's pal, and he's been good to Pat, and Pat's been good to him. Pat is on his way, ladies and gentlemen, and he is here tonight at 7:35, and we'll talk about comedy and how he got started. We're going to hear a little clip from Pat in a few minutes just to kind of tease you guys and get you excited, because he's a very, very funny guy and kind of hasn't really been doing it really that long. He just kind of shot up the charts, which is really hard to do in stand-up. I think if you're like a trained actor and you get your first role, you can end up on another show shortly or quickly after people see you. But with comedy, it just takes work and stage time, and there's really no way around that. But Pat, I'm not saying he got around that, but he had kind of a meteorological rise. Is that a phrase?
I think so.
He got there quickly is what I'm saying. He's a very talented guy. And then Marta Hansen will be here in hour number two at 8:20. She sings a song I love called The Lasts. And Marta was on Live in the Lair, I would say about 4 to 6 weeks ago, here on Max Inc. with Terry Barr and Rocker and Jimmy. And she is just a really just a great, beautiful voice and great songs. And she's also known as the piano gal. She has a love of pianos. She recycles them. She tunes them. She's all about pianos. And it makes sense that she's a singer-songwriter because of her love for piano. So we'll have Marta here in the studio in hour number two. Pat McGann, hour number one. Lots to get to. It is Willem Dafoe's birthday today. He is an Appleton native. And in my opinion, and this just happened probably in the last 15 years, like I always thought he was a really good actor. He had a very iconic kind of face and played great bad guys. And he played Jesus. He played Green Goblin. He played a counterfeiter in To Live and Die in L.A. He played Elias in Platoon. Just a phenomenally well-rounded actor. But I would say, like, in the last 15 years, Willem has just elevated his status as maybe one of the best actors of all time. He's got a very, he's got a great look, and he's just a, he's more well-rounded than you think. When you look at Willem Dafoe's face, you go, that's a bad guy. Because he's got, like, this kind of sneer, and he can look like a real tough guy. But I've seen him play just the opposite, too. He's just a phenomenal actor. He hails from Appleton. And that is the subject of our question of the night. Who is your favorite actor or actress from Wisconsin? You can let us know. Be part of the show. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Who is your favorite actor or actress from Wisconsin? You can go back to the 20s. 1800s, if you're familiar with thespians from that era, from the Dairy State. But Willem turns 69 today. David Spade turns 60. Danny Glover, 79. I would not have guessed that. And Selena Gomez. Do you own any Selena Gomez, Conrad? She's 32.
Like post? Wait, what was the question?
No, music. Would you turn it into something sick here? Like, yeah, do you own any of Selena Gomez's music?
Well, I mean, you know, gotta listen to some of her stuff. It's really good.
But have you purchased it?
No, I've never.
That would make you a real fan. Okay.
I purchased my Spotify subscription, so does that count?
There you go. Then they can't track you or tell you or tell if what exactly what you're obsessing over. So that's the question of the night. Let us know what you think. This is interesting. Brian Kelly sent me a message today. Brian is the Maggie Dawn's co-host here at Civic Media, and he does some amazing things too with just engineering.
Yeah,
he's just kind of a well-rounded. I don't even know like what title exactly. Like, he's on air and he's engineering and he's operations and he's all these kinds of. He's been a guest on Nightlight several times, and he said if Kamala Harris becomes president, or even if she doesn't, if she's just the nominee, as it looks like she will be, since Joe Biden stepped down this weekend, we'll see much more of Maya Rudolph. That's a pretty good call. When did she hang it up from Saturday Night Live? I can't remember that. Conrad, take a moment. Will you find that out if you can?
Yeah.
All right. She'll need to be one of us Googling during the show at one time, I think. Twisters opened a big opening this past weekend. The biggest opening ever in America for a disaster film. Pulled in like $82 million. Did you happen to see it, Conrad?
I didn't. I want to see it, though. It looks so good.
You know, I was going to go to a 9 o'clock show last night, only to find out my local theater did not have a 9 o'clock showing on a Sunday night in the summer. I was kind of bummed about that. So I missed it, but I will see it. I got to tell you this other film that I've talked about a little bit, and I think I discussed it with Rob Thomas recently, called Thelma. It's about an elderly woman who gets scammed by some teenager out of like $10,000. And she takes the law into her own hands and tracks the kid down with the help of another guy from a nursing home, played by Richard Roundtree. I rented it last night, and I got to tell you, I was falling asleep. This is a movie that got 100% good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's not like it was bad. It was sort of delightful. But I'm going to finish it, but it didn't knock my socks off at least the first 30 or 40 minutes, but I'll stick with it. I want to let you guys know how it is, or at least what I thought of it. So we've got Pat McGann on. He'll be here at 7:35. Let's hear a little bit of Pat, Conrad. We have a clip of Pat. This is from a special he did. I believe from his Netflix special where he talks about being in his 20s.
I used to live right here, two blocks from this theater. That's when I was in my 20s. Yeah. We got some people in their 20s here. Huh? Yeah, we hate you. We hate you. Now enjoy it. Enjoy. I can't even talk about my 20s at home. I met my wife when I was like 31. Sometimes she'll ask me, like, what were you doing in your 20s? I'm just like, nothing. I was looking for you. I thought you were in Mexico one weekend. Thought you worked at Hooters for a while. 20s is when you go out, right? And crush it. That's how guys in their 20s talk, right? Like these dudes right here. These, look at this. You guys out crushing it tonight with those tight shirts? Those are a little snug, huh? Just left those in the dryer for a while? Just... This one in particular, what size is that? 9 to 12 months? Is that? Yeah? I think my son has that one. Does that snap up down here? Just like three across. Snap it up, let's go. I'm gonna go crush it. They make it sound violent when they're going out, right? Young guys, they go, we want to get annihilated. Saw this girl the other night, want to destroy her. Like, what are you talking about? She's 22, she's got her whole life in front of her. I would wreck that. I would drink her bathwater. How disgusting is that? Stop saying that, if you're saying that. What is that gonna happen? What's that scenario? Just out, get a text, say, come on over, I'm in the tub. Doors open, straws on the sink. That's how guys talk though, right? They go and pick up strange. Have you heard of that? That's classy. Let's go get some strange. Let's pound some strange, bro. I have friends that talk like that, and I try and hang in the conversation. Like, yeah, I had sex with my wife. They're like, dude, don't talk about married sex. That's disgusting. Like, really? I can't talk about my familiar? We can only discuss your strange? I barely get any familiar. My familiar is becoming strange.
That's Pat McGann. He'll be here at 7:35 tonight on Nightlight. Our question tonight is, who is your favorite Wisconsin actor or actress? They could live here now. They could be from here. It doesn't really matter. You could go back a century if you want. We're doing this in honor of Willem Dafoe's birthday. He turned 69 today, the Appleton native. And we will talk more about that as the show goes on and read your texts. And we'll hear some Willem Dafoe clips. Ooh, I snuck in a William. It's Willem. Do you know that, Conrad?
It is Willem.
It is Willem.
Yeah.
Don't try to call. I naturally want to say William, and I got a little hint of it there, but it's Willem Dafoe. We'll hear a little of Willem's work in the next segment, as well as kind of a fun interview he did recently about acting, which I thought was really kind of fascinating. And you have a clip from your favorite show in the world where they talk about Willem Dafoe.
I just saw that episode last night, actually, which is hilarious. I didn't even know it was his birthday today.
That's a short clip. We could play that before the break. Let's hear that. This is a
it's a
mention of the iconic Willem Dafoe.
It's
Conrad's favorite show, How I Met Your Mother. If you want to set it up more, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just Marshall Erickson trying to break the ice with people he doesn't really hang out with.
Actors. Willem Dafoe. Funny thing about Willem Dafoe, his name kind of sounds like a frog talking to a parrot. Willem. Willem Dafoe! No? Willem Dafoe! Willem Dafoe! Willem Dafoe!
That's funny, but you texted me earlier that was one of the funniest scenes in the history of that show.
You gotta
We're
watch
using hyperbole.
You gotta watch the whole episode to get more of what it means.
Okay, fair enough.
It's hard to set up that little short clip with the
is
whole
it still your favorite show? Like you've been through The Office now.
It still is my favorite show. Yeah.
Oh, wow. And how's the Sausage Party show coming?
it's funny. It's not great.
It's still funny. All right, he is Conrad Krieger. Sitting behind the board, I'm Pete Schwab. You got Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Networks. And Willem Dafoe when we come back. Coming up next.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver.
and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project.
Project 2025 says that for the first time in 30 years, we want to restart testing of nuclear weapons. Tell me who that's good for. Yeah. I'm not sure it's really good for anybody. I have no proof of this. I think Donald Trump wants to see a mushroom cloud. I think he wants to feel the warm glow of an H-bomb on his pasty orange skin. I think he wants to feel the power.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. So, our question of the night, who's your favorite actor or actress from Wisconsin? Could be from any era, could be stage, film, TV, whatever. We've had some really good ones here. Willem Dafoe turned 69 today. He's from Appleton. A lot of people would probably say, Willem. And I think you could argue he's one of the best, whether or not he's your favorite. I don't know, but we've got some great texts coming in already. Tom from New Berlin says, he's talking about this gorgeous summer night that we mentioned earlier in the show in the last segment. Great summer night watching the Brewers plugging into Pete and Nightlife. Nightlight, I think he meant. Love it. Well, that's a pretty good night. So he's watching the Brewers. He's listening to Nightlight. That's just entertainment overload right there. But I'm glad you're doing it, Tom. Great to have you with us, as always. Ross from Crawford says, Ross and Crawford. Orson Welles, another popular one. And certainly one of the most accomplished, maybe. I think anytime you're talking about an actor, like 50 years after he died, and we're like a totally different generation than Orson Welles, and people are still talking about him, that staying power that is really impressive. Anna from the 608 says, my favorite actor from Wisconsin is Chris Farley. Great one. And you could go for best, favorite, whatever. Chris Farley is probably the most likable. Hard to go wrong with Tommy Boy. Even if that's the only film he did, Chris Farley, you could put on that list, because that was that fun of a movie. And he was that likable. Steve from Florida, the 920, says Gene Wilder is one of my favorite Wisconsin-born actor. I agree with you. Gene Wilder is a treasure. And you know what's weird? I like Gene Wilder even more that he was married to Gilda Radner, because I think she's so funny. I would just love to listen to their conversation in that house like 40 years ago or 50 years ago. Gilda died long before Gene. From the 608, Anna says, Maya Rudolph is nominated for an Emmy this year for Loot. Oh, I did see that. Thank you, Anna, for that. Well, she will be, and Conrad did the Google. He took a memo. He Googled. He saw it through. Maya Rudolph left SNL in 2019. But yeah, I have a feeling, as Brian Kelly mentioned, they might bring her back because she could do probably anyone. Paula from the 920. Conrad's mom checking in. Conrad, your mom has kind of been MIA.
I know. She needs to get better at it.
Personally, what's a dizzle?
I don't know.
She just got a lot on her plate these days.
I think so.
You don't even know what is going on in your mother's life. I'm ashamed. Sorry, Paula. I'm trying. Paula says Mark Ruffalo, who was born in Kenosha, where I was also born. Did you know your mom was born in Kenosha?
Kinda? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a cool one. Mark Ruffalo's great. Loved him in Poorer Things. I like him in everything. He played a cop in a movie called Collateral, and I thought he was so good. But in Poorer Things, he kind of took his acting to another level. He was so funny. Loved him. From the 920, hands down, Chris Farley, come on, with a purple heart. Love the emoji. Love when people text and use emojis. Thank you, 920. That's great. We'll keep reading the text as they come in. We're getting a lot of them. That's great. Sherry says, hi. Hi, Sherry. Good evening, Pete and Conrad, she says. Spencer Tracy is from Wisconsin. I really like him. Sherry, I just want you to know on my way to Madison today, I did pass the sign for Horicon, and I thought of you. So there you go. You're on my mind. And Spencer Tracy, that's a great, that is a great choice. All right, so I want to get to some Willem Dafoe clips because Pat McGann will be here shortly at 7:35, and we will focus on comedy then. But right now, we have a clip from one of my favorite films, an underrated film, a film that only recently you could stream. It kind of went away for a while. I don't know what happened to it, if they lost the deliverables or what, but it is finally available to stream. So, Conrad, let's play. This is Willem Dafoe. He plays Rick Masters, a counterfeiter, who just shows up in another tough guy from South Central's place. They had a business deal and it went wrong. And Rick Masters just walks in there to take on these guys seemingly by himself. Here's that scene now.
I get all the taste, brother. Yo.
Hello, Jeff.
What are you doing in my crib?
You sent two to do Cody and they blew it. I paid you half. I want it back.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get that money back myself. I had to front the whole purchase to get my people to do their thing, so I ain't got it no more.
Well, then, you better try and $40,000, because I ain't leaving without it.
I owe you, Cody. Next time there'll be no up.
What next time? He's in protective custody.
Yeah. Protective custody don't mean to me. The man's dead.
In a pig's ass. Want my paper, Jeff. I can't afford to have it circulating right now.
And I told you I don't have it.
Get it.
Now look, my man. I told you I don't have what you're looking for. So why don't you make it easy on yourself? Just shag your ass out of my crib. Now you be a printer. Go get some ink. And start printing some more of that.
What's happening, fella?
Yeah, you.
Contract with me, Jeff. No, I don't know whether you're into it.
Oh,
but you're gonna have to suck on this until you give me back my paper.
That's Wisconsin native, Appleton native, Willem Dafoe on his birthday. We have another clip we will get to later. Do we have a? You said we have a phone call, Conrad?
Yes, we do.
What does our caller want to talk about? Put him through. I'm excited to get a phone call tonight because I'm in Madison. I love getting phone calls in Madison. Hello, caller.
Hey, it's Mark from the Sack. Yeah, Mark Ruffalo in Just Like Heaven with Reese Witherspoon, where she's in a, you know, they figure out that she's in a, he takes over an apartment on a sublet and starts getting haunted by a spirit and realizes that she's somebody in a coma and comedy ensues.
I have not seen that film. How old is that?
It's fun. Let's see. Quick here. It's
not a big deal. We can look it up.
No, let's see. 2005.
Okay, that's a great. Thank you for the recommendation. What is your name again?
Mark from the Sack.
Mark. Oh yeah, Mark from the Sack. Okay. Yep. Mark, thank you very much.
Thanks, brother. You take care.
You have a great night, buddy. Okay.
Bye-bye.
We were a little short on time there, so we had to cut Mark loose, but that's a great, another great suggestion from Nightlight listener to Nightlight listener. We have Pat McGann coming up in just a few minutes after the award-winning news team here at Civic Media keeps you informed. Marta Hansen is here in hour two. Who's your favorite actor from Wisconsin or actress? Let us know. Text us. Tell us on the stream. Just get in touch with us some way. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Vice President Kamala Harris is now the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, having secured commitments from enough delegates to clinch the nomination. Endorsements keep coming in, including New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who warns of impending Republican attacks.
It's going to be very important that I think we brace ourselves for some of the unfair, misogynistic, and racial undertones.
Harris campaigns in Milwaukee today. Campaigning in Ohio, Trump running mate J.D. Vance called President Biden a quitter and said Harris was a liar and a million times worse than Biden. Riverside County authorities say fireworks are to blame for a wildfire that destroyed six homes and damaged seven more there. Delta Airlines, still hobbled from the global tech outage last Friday, has already canceled 332 flights for today. They've canceled thousands since the outage. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris will be the Democratic Party's presumptive nominee when she comes to Milwaukee Tuesday. On Monday, she praised President Biden, who dropped out of the race Sunday.
Every day, our President Joe Biden fights for the American people, and we are deeply, deeply grateful for his service to our nation.
That's Harris speaking at the White House. Wildfires are raging in western Canada again this summer, sending smoke back to Wisconsin. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, smoke is widespread in the Midwest and Great Lakes area, but the smoke is hanging thousands of feet in the air. Air quality warnings in Wisconsin could change over the next few days as the smoke lowers. Ongoing fires in Canada are expected to grow over the next week as hot, dry conditions persist. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Brendan Fraser likes Ike and will portray him in a new film called Pressure. The film tells the story of the D-Day invasion where troops storm the beaches at Normandy. The Oscar-winning actor portrays the Supreme Allied Commander Eisenhower. Variety reports that Ripley star Andrew Scott will portray Britain's chief meteorological officer, James Stagg. Stagg informed Eisenhower of weather conditions that were crucial to the Normandy invasion. The project is in the early stages of pre-production. The Simpsons have done it again. The New York Post reports that in an episode from the year 2000 called Bart to the Future, Lisa Simpson becomes the first female president of the United States. In the episode, she is wearing the exact same outfit that Kamala Harris wore during the 2021 inauguration, right down to the pearl necklace and earrings. Simpsons writer Al Jean posted a picture of Lisa next to Harris in their matching outfits. Let's see if life will imitate art. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible today. It's going to be muggy, too, with a high of 78 this afternoon. Thunderstorms will end tonight. Gradual clearing after midnight, 62 tomorrow. Partly cloudy, cooler and less humid with a high of 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Matt Nair on Air.
Don Ellingson is our guest. He's one of the co-directors of the Eau Claire Cube League.
It's a Swedish yard game. You would toss a baton trying to knock down your opponent's cubes.
You have teams from all over the country. What are some of the other names that stuck out to you?
Cube Hand Luke.
Nice. Yeah.
The Salty Batons.
Oh. Do you call the last 16 teams the Swedish 16?
Oh, I'm writing that down. That's pretty good.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday for a very special Devil's Advocates. We got Kamala Harris in Milwaukee, the presumptive Democratic nominee. Devil's Advocates. This is history.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always looks ahead, even when parallel parking, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight, broadcasting live statewide from our Madison, Wisconsin headquarters, looking over State Street here on a gorgeous summer night here in Wisconsin. Conrad is up in Green Bay holding down the fort. And our question tonight is, who is the greatest actor or actress from Wisconsin? If you want to answer like who your favorite is, that's fine too. We've got some great answers. We will read those again shortly, but you can let us know on the text line or on the stream. Conrad, how can people find us on the stream?
Yeah, so on Facebook, we're under Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and WGBW. On YouTube, WGBW and the Civic Media. And then on Twitter or X, we're under Civic Media.
There you go. You can text us on the stream or on the app, whatever is easiest for you. And tonight's question, once again, who is the greatest actor or actress from Wisconsin? So I'm very excited. We have a guest here. I've been trying to get on the show for a while, but he's a very busy guy and a very funny guy. We met years ago, and he played a joke on me. And I think that's a great way to meet someone. He's had his own Netflix special. He's touring around the country playing theaters. He is the definition of the word. He's not even an up-and-comer. He's there. And he joins us now on Nightlight, Pat McGann. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Pete. What's up, bud?
Not too much. How are you? Look at you in your car.
I know. What's on? I had a family. My niece is turning 19 years old.
Oh, wow.
Depends on what ID she shows you. But she's 19. And we had a little pizza thing for her here. On the, so I apologize that I'm in my car, but good to see you, bud.
No, it's great to see you, too. And it's great to see your car. It looks like you're doing very well based on the interior and how clean it is. And you've got the armrest.
It's really not. It's actually pretty filthy.
Is that a minivan?
I think this is how they invented trail mix. They went into a family car. And they reach into the back of the seat. Yeah,
and there
that's,
you go.
It's not the cleanest vehicle, but
they packaged.
I'm very curious about I'm trying to think of one famous actor from Wisconsin. I'm sure there's many actors and actresses from Wisconsin. Do you ever speculate on this question yourself, or do you have to wait till all the people come in?
I do. Sometimes I do it right at the beginning and sometimes I do it later. But I think after I saw Poorer Things, I'd say Mark Ruffalo is probably my favorite. Love Willem Dafoe.
Where's he from?
He's from Kenosha.
I never knew that.
Yeah, I think he finished high school there and then left. And sometimes here in Wisconsin, Pat, what we do is we say someone's from here, even if they were born here and left 3 months later, the girl on Marvelous Miss Maisel did Shannon. I can't think of her name right. Bresnahan, maybe? Anyway.
And Willem Dafoe, too? I didn't know that.
Yeah, from Appleton. Tried to make a porno film in high school.
Really?
I don't know if he was successful or not, but yeah, he was a little progressive maybe for Appleton. And I think he's mentioned that in interviews at times, but a great actor for sure.
Also from Appleton, Houdini, right?
Yeah, that's right. Just talked about him a couple weeks ago. That's right. Where are you right now? You're a Southside guy, right? Southside of Chicago?
I am a Southside guy. I am outside of Vito and Nick's. Have you ever been to Vito and Nick's Pizza?
I don't think so. It sounds familiar, though.
It's phenomenal. It's, the tavern style, thin crust. And it is, it's been on the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. You know when you go into a place and you see, Guy Fieri was here? Guy Fieri?
Right.
It's good. So legit spot.
This might sound sacrilegious, and being a Chicago kid, at least till I was 12, on the north side, right off the Kennedy, we had all kinds of stuffed pizza places around. I can't do the stuffed anymore, Pat. I don't know if I'm too old. I totally prefer New York style or just a thin crust. Does that make me a bad person?
Not at all. And I lived here my whole life. I eat deep dish maybe once every 2 years. Everything, there's a million places out here on the South Side that are thin crust, squares, small squares, tavern style. That's what you eat.
I love it. How are you, buddy? How you doing? Hey, what was the joke you played on me? We met at some...
We met at Zany's.
No. You were in L.A. There was some Illinois...
Was it the Windy City West?
Yes. It was like a networking thing for Chicago people that lived in L.A. And I used to go to those, and I used to go to the Wisconsin ones. So I was double dipping. But you came up to me, and our friend, mutual friend Mike Toomey, told you to say something to me. And damn it, if I cannot remember what it was, but whatever it was, you totally got me. And I was like, what?
I remember exactly what it was. We were talking about the 85 Bears.
Okay.
And I just said, Monsters of the Midway, bro. Mike told me to say that. He's like, you gotta just work in. Dude, yeah, Monsters of the Midway.
And what did I do? Did I give you a look like?
It was so like we were having such a sincere and genuine conversation because I had heard so much about you. And Mike, you know, I know you guys are very tight and have been for a long time. But, you know, Mike was like a mentor to me.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you're going to meet my buddy, Pete Schwabba. He's like, you got to give him this Monsters of the Midway. It was like, I was like getting in on your guys' inside joke.
Oh, that's so great.
I was trying to annoy you.
We were, that was our thing. We would come up with phrases like when you could tell people weren't really either not sports fans or didn't follow that particular team, but they wanted to act like they did. So
yeah,
whenever
right.
the Bear, I had a friend that whenever the Bears make a good play, he'd go, Monsters of the Midway. It's like, what? You just ruined the whole afternoon with that. What are you doing? Well, that
was dropping
fun.
Dropping an iron curtain when you're watching the Steelers. Oh.
It was great to meet you that night, Pat. And I cannot believe, like, since then, you and I think Mike even made a joke one time when I moved. He said you became the new Pete because you guys used to do the road together or something. Or maybe when did you
start
doing stand-up?
I started in like 2008. And
Wow.
I met Mike really early on at Walter Payton's Roundhouse. Speaking of Monsters of the Midway, he was a part of that.
Sure.
So we met there, and then I started opening for him on the road. He would take me with them, you know, and just, you know how it is, like when you're bouncing ideas off of somebody or also just getting like, you know, a handle on who books what and, you know, how it all works, really. Like,
yeah.
I learned so much of that from Mike.
Well, you have like been, to quote one of your jokes, we just heard your guys in their 20s bit to tease your appearance here. And I love, that's such a funny, the whole piece is funny, but you're like, on the road now, you're part of this tour with Sebastian Maniscalco, and you guys are playing huge theaters. And what is that like, Pat? You know, you go from talking about working the road with Mike and learning the ropes to, you know, you played the Chicago Theater recently. I mean, it's got to be crazy. You got your own Netflix special.
Well, it's on Amazon and Peacock, so not Netflix, but maybe someday. But no, it's phenomenal. The Sebastian stuff has really been great. I met him at Zany's, which I know we worked together as well. I know.
Yeah.
I remember talking to you in the back and like by the kitchen and this. So met Sebastian there, and he took me on the road with him. And at that time he was doing like small theaters and, you know, growing out of the clubs. And now he's doing like arenas, and it's insane. You know, there's not a lot of comics doing what he's doing. And when I'm with him, it's kind of like a different world. You know, you kind of get that imposter syndrome. But the experience has been great. You know, it's a little different doing stand up in that environment, but you know, it's a lot of fun. And the his shows, like I just came off a weekend with him. We were in Atlanta and Nashville, Jacksonville and Savannah. He did an arena in each town, and the production values of like of his shows have just really, you know, it's like next level stuff. It's a little different being in the round and being in a, like a less intimate environment.
Yeah.
But it's still fun. It's really like, you know, I feel like the live experience is translating more than ever. People are probably not even realizing it, but they crave that, like being with other people and being in an audience and surrounded by other people laughing at the same thing and like being on the same page. Like, it's really like something we don't get to do that much anymore.
For sure. My guest is Pat McGann. He's a Chicago-based stand-up comedian. You can check out his special on Amazon and Peacock. I thought Netflix owns everything, so I think I just assumed it was Netflix. But what do you prefer, Pat? You prefer, like you said, you get treated probably like a king when you play these theaters. You don't get treated like a king in a club, but you have that intimate feeling in a club. As a stand-up, what do you prefer? Not strictly money aside.
I mean, the clubs and the smaller theaters always prefer, because it's just like an automatic instant connection. And it's like more like a conversation. Like, you're really with those people. There's a little bit more of a gap in that when you're at an arena. You can't really do crowd work as easily. You can't really connect on the level that you can in a club, you know? And then for developing material too, it's really difficult to do that if you're doing a bigger venue. And, you know, when I'm opening for him, I'm doing shorter sets. So I like when I'm kind of, you know, closing out the show, I have a longer set and I can do a club or a smaller room, a smaller theater, and, you know, let, you know, air it out, try new things and do some crowd work too, because I like to do that and it makes it every show a little bit different. Right.
Yeah. You're so good at the crowd works too, that I would imagine you do miss clubs at times. But Pat, what is it like you just said, you could be doing smaller theaters yourself. Probably you've had a special, you're really well known now, but these gigs with Sebastian must be so easy. You probably just have to show up, and it's probably great money and great travel. And like, how do you give that up? And do you even want to?
Yeah. I mean, no, you're right. You get caught up in that, right? Cause you're like, this is amazing. Everything's taken care of. It's all, you know, you really do. You just show up and it's not your audience. There's no pressure and selling tickets. And that's a real thing. You know, when I'm out on my own and I'm trying to promote shows and get people in the door, that's a tougher grind, but that is the goal, right? You want to be closing the show. But also the Sebastian experiences really helped build my career and get me in front of a lot of people. And, you know, the special you mentioned, Sebastian produced. So he's really sharing this platform that he's developed with me, which is the most you can do for another comic, you know, kind of bring someone else up the ladder. So I do see this tremendous value in doing the opening act with him, but, you know, I'd be lying if I would say like, I don't prefer like, you know, doing my own thing.
Right. It's funny. You have, you guys complement each other really well. Like, he's very physical and kind of as almost showcasing his acting skills when he's doing stand-up. He's very demonstrative, and you're kind of just this wise ass Irish guy with these great jokes. Like, I would imagine too, that his crowds know who you are now too, and are just as happy to see you on some level.
Yeah. It's been great for me to be able to get in front of these people, and they really support him. They come out every time he comes into their town. And, you know, now it's like the third, fourth time going through a lot of these markets. And, it's nice to have like kind of piggybacked his crowd and be able to capture those people. But to your point on him, like just being around him, the performance style he has, I've learned a lot from that. Just like getting out there and actually like turning it on.
Yeah, you know? That's great. My guest is Pat McGann. He is here. You can check out his stand-up special on Amazon Prime or Peacock. And when we come back, we'll let you know where you can see him live. He's part of a big tour right now with the aforementioned Sebastian. He's here with us tonight on Nightlight. We'll have more with Pat coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's progress we have found, a way to talk around the problem. Building tower foresight isn't anything at all. Why the sky and sell the sky and leave the sky and tell the sky? What is it? What is it?
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project on Project 2025.
Donald Trump, Mr. Vance, when you say mass deportation, what do those words actually mean? Tell me how you're going to identify those people. Tell me where you're going to put those people. Something like a mass deportation suddenly becomes a massive forced roundup of people who maybe have been here 6 months and maybe have been here 60 years.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You've seen her dressed in blue. See the sky in front of you.
Mom Gonna Be Home is the name of this special on Amazon. I had in front of me before and I misplaced it, but that is Pat's special on Amazon Prime. Definitely check it out. Pat McGann is my guest. He's joining us from his van on the south side of Chicago. That doesn't sound good, but everything is on the up and up, I swear. Pat, I love when I think you've arrived as a respected comedian when people remember your jokes and who said it. About 2 years ago, maybe, I had my folks over for breakfast, and we were looking for, like, sometimes we watch comedy, we watch Brian Regan a lot, and I came across your special. I said, oh, Pat's really funny. You guys are going to love Pat. He's this Irish Catholic kid from the South Side. So we put the special on. Every time your name comes up, like I was talking to my dad today, who's on your show tonight? Pat McGann. Is he the guy that does the beach volleyball joke sitting at the table? Like, He knows that joke, and it has stuck with him forever. And Pat's joke is, I'm paraphrasing, but you had so many people in your family and not enough chairs that you sat, I think, in a high chair until you were like 5 years old or something like that. Oh, no. Did we lose Pat? This is like the equivalency of me telling a joke in a restaurant at dinner, and the waitress comes up and asks if we want her to drop the check right as I'm getting to the funny part. Oh, there's Pat. We got Pat back. Your joke about the beach volleyball chair or the high chair. You were in a high chair until you were like five because your family didn't have enough chairs and you felt like you were reffing a beach volleyball match.
Yeah.
That's the joke my dad always goes to. He's like, oh, Pat's the guy that does the joke. And I'm like, yeah. So I think that's pretty cool, because a lot of times you remember someone's funny or you remember the name or a joke and then you can't remember who said it. My dad remembers that joke and remembers who said it. So good for you. There you go.
Oh, I love that. That's great. Yeah. I'd love to hear that. Yeah, I sent a head chart. I was like nine, you know, just elevated.
That's so
pushed
great.
Up. Like, they took the tray off, pushed me up against the table. Yeah. Like I was reffing a volleyball match. Felt like a lifeguard.
Oh, I love it. So, all right. So you said you started in 2008. How did you, when did the light bulb go off for you, Pat? You said you started when you were 31, and that's not late, but it's later than some. But, and you said, I think in your bio, I read you were selling packaging. I imagine, hopefully you released the funniest packaging salesman at your company. But when did you think, I think I can do this. You know, I think I can do comedy.
You know what? I was like just going to open mics and I always like loved writing stuff in notebooks. And, you know, you mentioned Brian Regan and Jim Gaffigan too. I saw Jim Gaffigan's special on Comedy Central and I was like, man, I feel like this guy is talking about stuff that I talk about with my buddies. And we all like similar premises and like, just kind of like, I remember calling my dad and I was like, I'm just watching this guy and I feel like he's like, what are you talking about? You'd have to move to New York. Like you can't just start. And I went to an open mic in Chicago and, you know, Chicago's got such a healthy stand-up scene. A lot of people give credit to the improv scene, as you know, but the stand-up scene is great. And I started going to open mics and, you know, open mics, there's some horrible stuff going on there, you know, and there's good things too, but you're like, I could be at least I could do that. Right.
Right.
So I started going there and then just snowballed. The biggest thing I had to overcome was getting on a stage. I was never like a performer or like, you know.
Wow.
I was terrified about talking in front of a group of people. You know, I really had to overcome that. So
that's really interesting you say that, because your style is such that you seem very casual, very at ease on stage. So you've obviously overcome that, as you would have had to do anyway, being a stand-up. But that surprises me that you say that. I never would have guessed that.
Yeah, it took me a while. The biggest the thing that happened with me, like in terms of getting an opportunity or a break, was becoming a house MC at Zany's. And the repetition in that was just insane. They're open every night of the week for comedy. The only night I had off was Mondays. So Tuesday through Sunday, we're doing shows. And Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, multiple shows. So in those 6 days, you're doing 12 to 14 shows. And they really wanted me to welcome people and not do material. They wanted me to find out who was from out of town and if anyone had anything going on that night, like, right. You know, celebrate anything. And that that helped me get comfortable.
You said you're pretty sarcastic on stage, but also very likable. Is that like a hard line to walk for you? Do you ever go too far and then you have trouble getting people back, or do you have it down to a science by now?
I mean, I'm sure that I can alienate some people, and maybe now more than ever. But I try to be, like you said, likable, but like kind of like a jerk, you know, like... Are you allowed to swear on this show?
Yeah, it's live radio, but it's also, we can edit out swears for the podcast.
It's like you're a likable a-hole, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I always feel like, you know? I try to get away with things and but smile along the way and act like I'm not really that serious and, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
Oh, it's working for you. What are your favorite clubs, Pat? I assume Zany's is one of them because that's where you started, but...
Well, you got one right down the street from you, right? Can you see it from your window?
We
the
have
Comedy Club on State.
Comedy on State is directly below us. And
is it?
I've met both the Paris girls. They're both very nice, but they don't like, I'm trying to find like sponsors and advertisers, and they're nice, but they're packed every night. Like they don't need to spend a dime. They have such a good reputation, you know, but yeah, they're right downstairs.
I find that the independently owned clubs are the best.
Yeah.
They're not as interested in or concerned about, you know, selling food and, you know, the bottom. I know that they're interested in the bottom line, don't get me wrong, but they're also like more supporters of comedy. So Zany's, obviously in Chicago, Comedy Works in Denver, the one there in Madison, the ones that are kind of more run, you know, by, even Heliums, like the Helium comedy clubs, I really enjoy working those. There's one in Buffalo that I really like. So yeah, there's still a lot of great comedy clubs out there.
You want to feel old? My son just went up. He did his first set at Comedy on State like 2 weeks ago. And he was
Did he really?
Yeah.
How old is he? Just,
he's 23, but he graduated from here last year. He's just here for the summer. And he was like, pretty nervous, but I go, oh, if you do well at that club, you know, that's a good sign. And he called me after. He's like, Dad, it went really well. I was really happy with it.
So that's like, awesome.
And as a dad, you're like, I was more nervous than he was because I'm reliving all this again, you know?
Did a part of you feel like, what am I letting this guy get into? You know?
Yeah. I'm like, just do nails. It's an easier life. You know, you don't want to do this. Hey, can you give us just a few more minutes, Pat? Can you hang for a few?
Yeah, of course.
All right, fantastic. Pat McGann's going to stick around. I got two or three more questions for him, and one is going to shock him to his very core. Kidding.
I'm ready.
Beach Wabba, Nightlight. thanks for being here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, we're live from the EAA. We'll be joined by the director of EAA Communications, Dick Napinski.
And the director of the EAA Museum, Chris Henry, will stop by along with Brittany Merlot.
Join us.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary,
What's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.